Today we're going to answer, we're going to begin to answer the question, does God exist? And this went from a one-part message to a two-part message because, believe me, you didn't want the whole thing today. And so this is part one that we're covering today. And I'm reminded as preparing this, I thought, you know, it seems that the goal of the world is to tell you what you should think. You ever get that out? You know, that it's to influence you. The political parties, if you're a Democrat, you're supposed to think one way. If you're Republican, you're supposed to think another. If you're a conservative, you're supposed to think the way conservatives think. Even the news. You know, they've quit reporting news. And they've started telling you how to think. And it's on both sides, liberal as well as conservative. It's, you know, that the idea is to bring you to their thought process. If you go to college, they'll try to influence you. In your home, mom and dad has tried to influence you. And mom and dad, if you're not, you better get with it. Okay? But today, I just want to encourage you, everybody here, today I want you to think for yourself. Is that fair? I want you to think for yourself and answer the question, does God exist? And if you say, oh yes, Brother Doug, I believe that God exists, then why? Why do you believe that God exists? Because I'm going to tell you, especially if you're among the younger crowd, you're going to get asked that question out there. If you're a college student, you're going to face that question somewhere along the way. If you're a young adult, you're going to have friends that ask you, why? Today we begin to answer that question, and the answer begins with a foundation of faith. And understanding what faith is. You see, faith is not a blind belief. People will say, you know, they'll talk about Christians, they'll say, well, you just have made up this God that's not really there. You've never seen Him, you've never heard Him, and you've just made Him up because you can't come to grips with the idea that one of these days you're going to die and rot in the ground. And I've heard that. There's more. I don't want a made up God. I want a God that I have faith in knowing that He's really there. And understand, when you say faith, you see, that's where the world does not understand the concept of faith. Faith is not a blind belief. Faith is defined in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, and it's not that different if you look in Webster. Okay? But in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And let's start with first the substance. The substance of things hoped for. That word substance, it means the assurance of our expectation. It's the idea, you know, when we say substance, we don't really understand. But what we're talking about is the conviction. And we could say that faith is the conviction of the things we expect. You know, to put it in our language, it's, I know that I know. You know, I've talked to Beth, and I'll be honest with you, and I don't mean to be closed-minded, but I shared with Beth this week, you know, I'm 57 years old. You're probably not going to change my mind about God. And I don't mean to have a closed mind. I really do not. But what I do mean is I have taken and I have considered the evidence over the years, and I've come to the point that I am convinced there is a God. Amen. And that's this concept. You know, as Christians, we can be pretty passionate. Have you noticed that? Even to the point that if we're challenged, we can get angry. Well, if we're dealing in the subject of apologetics, you cannot afford to get angry, okay, if you're sharing the existence of your God. You see, faith is not just this made-up belief, but faith is built on evidence. The evidence of things not seen. Now, here's what you always have to know. Understanding faith. Faith is not this pie-in-the-sky belief in nothing. Faith always follows the evidence. Faith always follows. If you do not have evidence for your faith, you do not have biblical faith. Make sense? Okay? Because this Hebrews chapter 1 verse 11 said there's going to be evidence that will lead you to the point that you believe this. And you are going to have faith in something. And you can back up and say, I don't believe there's a God. Well, you have faith that there's not a God. Okay? And you've got to ask yourself the question, what do I base my opinion or my conviction on? I've heard people say, well, you know, when I was young, this happened in my life, and I just decided if there really was a God, that sort of thing wouldn't happen. That's not evidence. And listen, I'm sorry that bad things happen to good people. We'll get into that further down the line. But what you've got to do is you've got to critically examine the evidence and gather the evidence. And once you have evidence or the proof, the verification of what you believe, that within you're ready to use the evidence logically. You know what the word logic means? It means to think. Make sense? So what we're going to do is we're going to gather the evidence and we're going to think about that evidence that will bring us to the point that we will draw a conclusion or establish our faith. Make sense? It's kind of like if you were to say, I wonder if Doug Hambrick really exists. Well, now, you're looking at me today, so you're pretty much convinced, right? I exist. But if you had never seen me before, if you had never heard me before, but you heard people talk about this preacher named Doug Hambrick, and you decide one day, I want to establish if he exists. So you begin to amass your evidence. And as part of that evidence, you go to the house where Doug Hambrick supposedly lives, and you see a house that everybody says Doug Hambrick lives in that house. Now, that's your first step. That's evidence, right? Then you go out and you say, now, that's a little evidence, but I want more. So you go to the mailbox of Doug Hambrick. And you open that mailbox and you see letters addressed to Doug Hambrick, which, by the way, if you go to my mailbox and you open the mailbox and take letters out, you pay the bills that you take out, okay? Because that's probably all that's going to be in there. But my name is going to be written. You'll say, okay, there's more evidence. So you begin to interview my neighbors. You say, have you ever seen this guy called Doug Hambrick? And they say, yes, I've seen him. They tell you they have witnessed with their own eyes. Then you say, okay, that's pretty good, but I need to go farther. And so you go to the state records department. And you find a birth certificate for Doug Hambrick. You say, well, that's pretty good. I have witnesses. I have a home. I have mail addressed to him. I have a birth certificate. We're building a pretty good case. But I want more. So you go to the federal level and you see where I've paid income taxes for the last 50 years. Right? Somewhere along the way, you're going to have to say, okay, even though I have not seen this Doug Hambrick with my own eyes, it's plain to see this guy exists. And that's what I want to present to you today. Though you may not have physically seen God with your own eyes, I want you to begin to understand through the eyes of faith and faith of thinking through the evidence that God really does exist. The evidence. Romans chapter 1 verse 19 says, well, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Now, you can go and you can read the verses before and after this, but the idea he's talking about man realizing that God does exist. And in plain language there, it says that God has made himself known. So if you're going to gather evidence, it's good to know that there's evidence out there. That's like saying, if you want to know God, there's plenty of evidence for you to gather. Make sense? Say amen. Okay? And so God himself, it says, has shown them. He's made it plain. Well, first off, we've got to take a little pit stop right here. We've got to talk about the agnostic. You see, the agnostic thinks that there probably is some being, creature out there that is God, but you cannot know God. Thus the word agnostic, from the Greek a, which is not, and gnosko, which is to know. Not to know, you can't know God. That's what the agnostic thinks. But that doesn't agree with what's presented in the Word of God. You see, I must admit, there are some things you will never understand about God. You will never wrap your mind around all that God is. Isaiah 55:8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways," says the Lord. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." See, some people can't wrap their mind around the idea that they can't fully understand God. I'm glad that I can't fully understand God. How about you? If I could fully understand God, that would make God a man and put him in my class. And he is way beyond my class. There are a lot of things that I'll never get. I don't know how he hung the sun, moon, and the stars. I don't know how he created the universe. I don't understand completely the Trinity. I don't understand how he breathed the breath of life into Adam. But that's okay. That just means I serve a God that is well beyond my understanding. And I go back to Romans 1:19 that says he has been clearly made manifest. Okay? Because see, the evidence says God can be known. So as we sit here today, I want you to understand, you can know God. You may not understand everything about God. That's okay. If I'm going to go see the doctor and have surgery, I may not understand everything that's going to go on with that surgery, but I want the confidence that that doctor understands everything that's going to go on with the surgery, right? Kind of the same concept about God. I may not understand it all, but I understand the God who does. I know the God who does understand it all. That's the concept here, okay? Now, the evidence says that God can be known. And back to Romans chapter 1 verse 19 says, "Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them." That word manifest, I know it's a Bible word, and it means clearly reveal. Make it plain, so that you cannot miss it. Have you ever missed something you can't miss? I have too. But the idea behind that word in Romans 1:19 is, it's plain. You can't miss it. It's clear. You do not have to be a Bible scholar to get this. Most people kind of look at the Bible and say, "Well, that stuff is above me." No! You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to have a PhD. You don't have to have a master's or a bachelor's degree. God has made himself plain. Clearly shown himself to us. How? Creation. I want you to chew on this. God has manifested himself, made himself plain. How? Through creation. We go back to the book of Romans and we consider the revelation of creation, or the revelation of God through creation. In the book of Romans chapter 1 verse 20, it says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made." That's us. Okay? "Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." What's been made known? The invisible attributes of God. You may not see God, but you're going to discover the attributes of God based upon creation. The evidence that brings you to the understanding of who God is. You see, creation reveals, it says, and go back to verse 20, for since the creation of the world is invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. What are the attributes? The last part of that verse, even His eternal power and Godhead. Creation reveals God's power. Now I want you to imagine with me for just a second. You cannot see power. You always see the result of power. Listen. I do not know how it works. But I sure do love it that when I walk into this sanctuary every week, we flip a switch and boom, all these lights come on. Now, that's not some magical hocus pocus. Do you see the electricity? No. The power? Absolutely not. You see the result of the power. Are you going to see God? Absolutely not. You see the result of what God, of who God is and His power. That's the idea here. As you look at creation, you back up and you consider the sun, the moon, and the stars. And you think, wow. What power put the sun in place? Now imagine with me, you know that the sun, if it were just a little bit farther out, we'd freeze to death. If it were just a fraction closer to the earth, we would burn up. But someone in His infinite power set the sun right in just exactly the right spot. Oh, Brother Doug, that's just happenstance. That just so happened to occur. Listen, examine the evidence. The sun is there. What about the stars? You ever look up at night? And you see the stars? What put the stars there? Well, Brother Doug, they just happened. Bless your heart. Look at the evidence. Just stop and listen. I know. I understand. I'm a very simple man. Right? I don't know the physics of it all. I don't know every... You know, I don't get all that stuff. What I get is when I look out there, I see a world that is an awesome world. I have stood on the edge of the Grand Canyon and looked down in that big old hole, and you know what I thought? Wow. Wow. What a creation. I have looked up on a starry night and observed the stars and the moon, and you know what I think? Wow. What a creation. Because you see, in my simple mind, I am convinced that nothing happens by accident. Things don't just happen. And you know, the idea of that people have today of the, you know, well, I believe in evolution, everything progressed. No, listen. Listen. When I look at this building, I see a wonderful building that someone built. Don't you? I'm going to tell you what did not happen. This building was not the result of a tornado. This building was not the result of a tree that fell to the ground, and when it fell to the ground, it splintered into pieces of two befores, and those two befores bounced up from the ground and set the walls of this place in. No. You see a building that was built by a builder. There were plans. Listen, I've seen the plans of this church. I can't read the plans of this church, but I've seen them written on paper. I wasn't here when this worship area was built. But I know it took really good craftsmen to put it all together. And that's what I want you today to look. You look at God's power. You see that power always has a source. Just objectively, look out there at a tree and ask the question, where did you come from? Because see, the world's going to tell you that this tree came from a big bang, a big explosion that happened billions of years ago. And from that explosion, the smallest form of life was created. And this little cell climbed out of the ooze and began to develop. And it developed into a monkey. Bless their heart. And then his tail fell off. And he began to walk on two legs. And through the years, he straightened up and got all those levels of the men, that Cro-Magnon men and all that. Just be reasonable. Look at the evidence. The evidence says there is a marvelous creation, and the creation itself reveals the power of God. Creation itself also reveals the deity of God. The idea there's the authority. Do you realize when you go to the book of Genesis and say, and it reads, God said, let there be, and that sentence ends the same way every time. He said, let there be, and there was. That's authority. When God said, let there be light, and there was light. There wasn't a sun, moon, and stars when God said, let there be light. He just spoke light into existence. Isn't that cool? Do I understand how God did it? No, I don't. I do not. But man, when I consider the authority of a God that can call light out of nothingness, that's a God that I want to submit myself to. God that said, let the trees form and the grass grow. I don't understand how all that worked. But I know by His authority the trees grew and the grass grew. You know, I have discovered, as I said before, I'm a very simple man. I just am. People have said, Brother Doug, I like that your preaching is so simple. I just can't do it any other way. I'm a simple guy. But here's what I know. We have several people that work at a place just down the road here called Arkansas Nuclear One. It's a nuclear power plant. I do not know anything about nuclear power. But these people go out there and they apply their skills that they have. And I appreciate you guys. I really do. I don't know. You could tell me how you did it and it would mean nothing to me, because it's over my head. All I know is this. That when those guys go out there and do their work at a nuclear power plant, this guy goes to his house, flips the switch, and the lights come on. I know it's simplistic, right? That's why in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, God says, I've revealed myself to everyone. I've made myself plain to everyone. You don't need to think. Look, just look at the sun, moon, and stars. Look at the trees and the grass. Look at the mountains and the valleys. Look at the tundra as well as the deserts. Look at God's amazing creation. It could not have just happen by accident. It's not possible. Nothing was ever created by an explosion. Okay? Those that there was this big explosion, and through that a cell was created. An explosion has never created anything, it has only destroyed things. Creation reveals the deity of God. Creation itself speaks concerning God. Oh, creation is not quiet. Psalms chapter 19 and verse 1 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork." You know what the psalmist David is saying? The heavens declare the glory of God. He's saying, look up. Very simply, look up. The firmament declares and shows His handiwork. That word firmament means the expanse. Have you ever looked at the universe? I mean, there's so much you can't take it all in. And you know, when you look at that, you just think, wow, God, You did a great job. Or that's what I think anyway. It declares the glory of God. I want to call your attention to one more thing. And I want you to take note of the last line of Romans chapter 1, verse 20. The glory of God has been revealed, His eternal power, His Godhead, so that they are without, what's the last word?
Excuse.
It says there's no reason that you shouldn't know that God exists. It's saying, look at the creation. Oh my goodness, you know, when I look at the pews in this church building, I see, man, somebody did a good job cutting out the pews and covering the pew. I think of the Creator. When I get into my car, my truck, on the front of my truck it says Ford. And I drive that truck and I like that truck just fine. And I'm just reminded that somewhere, that truck that I'm enjoying, there was a Creator. And when I look at this world in which I live, I look at the complexity of the sun, moon, the stars, the complexity of life itself, and we're going to get into all that next week, okay? But I look and I'm reminded, someone had to put all this together. It did not just happen. That's what Romans chapter 1, verse 19, 20 is saying. Saying, think. Think. There's no excuse to miss it. I want to share the last story in closing. Story of a young lady. She was at the park one day. And she was playing in the park and she found in the bushes a little doll, a toy doll. And she took that doll, put it in her backpack and took it home with her when her mom and dad said it was time to go. She took it home with her and she put it on her desk with all her other dolls. And sure enough, the way she's waiting for her mom and dad to notice. And her dad would come in there every night and he would tuck her in and they'd say their prayers and say amen and then he'd walk out. He wouldn't notice that new doll that she found in the park. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, same thing. Finally, at the end of the week, you know, the little girl, she's just waiting for dad to notice the new doll and he never notices. And finally, she looks at dad that one night when he comes in to tuck her in and she looks at dad and says, "Dad, last weekend when we were at the park, I found this doll. I brought it home. I set it on my dresser with the rest of my dolls. And you and mom have never even noticed my new doll." You know what the dad said? "Honey, I didn't know I was supposed to be looking for a new doll. I did not know I was supposed to be looking. We live in a world that I fear does not realize they're supposed to be looking at the hand of the Creator. Supposed to be looking at the glory of God through His gracious creation. And day in and day out, we get up, we go to work, and never give it a thought. Day in and day out, we enjoy our hobbies, never give it a thought. Day in and day out, we raise our children, our grandchildren, we go about our lives, and we don't stop and see the magnificent hand of the Creator, Almighty God. Your challenge this week: look for God. If you're not a believer, you know, you, and this is for everybody, believers as well as non-believers. You may be here, you know, yeah, Brother Doug, you hadn't convinced me yet. Well, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to this point, but here's my challenge. When you go out of here, look for God. Just look. Notice. Take note. And if you are a believer and, you know, you're like me, your mind's already made up, you're pretty dogmatic about it, and you know, even we need to notice. We need to be reminded. Because I will be honest with you, before I prepared this message, it reminded me, hey, yeah, I believe there's a God, and I, you know, that's not optional with me, and you're not going to change my thought process. But I was reminded, why do I believe in God? The reason I believe in God is because I look around and I see the glory of the Creator through His creation. Look for God. That's your assignment this week. You may be here today, and through this message you've realized that there is a God. And you know that you're not right with that God. And you need to be saved. I have good news. You see, this God loves you so very much that He gave His only begotten Son. His name is Jesus, who went to the cross of Calvary to pay for your sin debt by dying for your sins. You say, oh, Brother Doug, I'm not that bad a guy. Nobody had to die for me. Yes, they did. You see, just as soon as you committed your first sin, you became a transgressor of the laws of God. And you became separated from the laws of God. And therefore, somebody had to either take your punishment or you would be eternally separated. And that somebody was Jesus Christ. He died upon the cross of Calvary so that you could call upon Him and have eternal life. Now, the choice is yours today. If you know there's a God, you know you're a sinner. And if you know you're a sinner, you know your need for a Savior. The Savior is Jesus Christ. My friends, I challenge you. Jesus says, come unto me, you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Will you come to Jesus this morning as we have this invitation? Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word and just for the reminder this morning that Your hand, Your mighty power is made clear through creation. Father, I pray that this message will be effective to not only those that are present this morning, but all who will hear. I pray for those, Lord, who do not have the assurance of Your existence, I pray that through this study, they will gain that assurance, and not only gain that assurance, but be able to share with others why they have that assurance. Oh Lord, I love You. And I praise You as the one, the only, true God. And I pray during this invitation, Your will be done. In Jesus' name.